There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And just like that, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Easy to get in touch with us as well. 251-343-0106 for a call or a text. 251-343-0106. Also, I've mentioned this before. We've got 55 hours a week of live local shows. Local people, local radio station coming from right here 7 days a week. So if you don't want to chime in on this show, maybe it's tonight, maybe it's over the weekend or whatever. Keep that number in your contacts for FM Talk 106.5 for the call in or the text line, both 251-343-0106. Also, we'll, get an update here on Bertha from staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams about 12:35. Been windy, rain showers and stuff like that, but kind of getting out of, it keeps going south before it's heading to southeast Louisiana, so it hadn't been bad here, although I have seen, the videos coming in from along the bay and Dolphin Island and all that. Water's up a couple feet, waves are crashing on seawalls. I'm sure somewhere there's B-roll of sailboats rocking at their moorings, but it's, not bad for Bertha. All right. As I mentioned at the end of Jeff's show, we get started with my buddy. You read his work in the Tennessean. You can also hear the music of Wasted Bacon out there for your summertime listening pleasure. And also, if you get a chance, check out the film The Ballad of Davy Crockett. It is, without any further ado, we say hello to our buddy Cameron Smith. Hey, Cameron.
Hey, Sean. I'm just throwing stuff all over on this end of the line. It's getting wild. Hurricanes, tornadoes, and, a dicey ceasefire situation in Iran.
You know, ceasefire. Okay, so a definition here of ceasefire. I didn't really ever follow it when we were in the first ceasefire, right? Or, it's ceasefire... light diet ceasefire, something like that. But it seems to be, well, we're not ceasefiring now. So, we're hitting a lot more infrastructure, I guess.
I want somebody to tell me what's going on, because every day I wake up to headlines of U.S. strikes Iran. We've been striking a lot. Nobody's told me, what the goal is or if we're accomplishing it. It's more strikes, retaliatory strikes, strikey strikes. And meanwhile, the Iranian regime is as bellicose as ever, saying they're threatening us. And I don't get it. I mean, this is like UAB threatening the University of Alabama on the football field. This shouldn't be a thing, yet here we are. And I don't like the fact that we don't seem to have any coherent response. And I understand folks that say, nuke them all, turn it to glass, the ones that have that hardcore rhetoric. But there are actual human beings who don't have any power or decision-making authority here that would be killed by that. And that's not how America behaves. So once we kind of just tone down our own rhetoric, what's the game plan here? What are we going to do?
Okay, and certain, as I watch as the dignified transfer is going on for four service members here killed in the last, 3 days, 4 days here. You got two Army soldiers. You've got they're being returned from the Jordan attack. Also, the remains of a soldier killed in Iraq during the detonation of the Iranian drone. If you would have hit the places those came from, I cheer. The attacks that killed our service members. You would hit those. You would have hit the places that are firing on the ships in the Strait of Hormuz. Hit the that all well, I didn't want us in this conflict in the first place, but that stuff makes sense to me. But the idea that we would Dresden, if we did it conventional, or, you know, Hiroshima, if we did it nuclear, to this country, where do we go from there? That this is not an existential threat right now. Iran is not an existential threat to the United States the way the Japanese Imperial Army was in World War II. So do we get to destroy all their, kill all their people that are non-combatants? I mean, if the IRGC dies, I shed no tears. I maybe cheer, but like kids and wives and all that stuff, I got trouble with that.
Yeah, if you want to see an actual holy war, let's do that. Because the moment that the Islamic world sees us, to quote folks that I've heard and texts that I've read, turn Iran to glass, then it becomes the West versus the Islamic world. And you're going to see people that are with us right now, if we did something like that, turn against us very, very, very quickly and very powerfully. And I think we need to realize that America has a character and conscience that we need to rediscover if we've lost it, but understand that, hey, women, children, folks that are not combatants, we do not just wipe them out. And at this juncture, when I see American soldiers being killed, I am strengthened in my resolve that this regime needs to be removed.
Yeah.
But that's the regime. It's not all of the Iranian people. Iran, as a country, before these loons took over, was a absolutely fantastic place and an awesome culture. And now we have, you know, theocrats who hate the West, and it's a very, very different situation. And I understand there's a lot of Iranian people that, you know, support the regime and are rallying behind their country against the United States. But the bottom line is the Republican Guard, the regime, remove them violently. The people, leave them alone.
Yeah,
and they're not the problem.
And people will say, listen, this is how you get yourself in trouble if you go into war without total war, right? This has been the post-World War II. This has been the problem for the United States to not carry out a full war. Of course, that's where people like me come in and say, well, let's not get it in the first place. But you do have to do something there. I don't know. You've given us these binary choices. Say we leave now. You leave a failed state. You do a Libya thing. It's not like they're going to say, hey, we learned our lesson. We won't do that terrorist proxy stuff anymore. We won't do that death to Israel, death to America. They're going to keep doing that. I mean, they might do it on, you know, a little lower setting on volume because they won't have the same infrastructure, but they're still going to do that.
And they have lots of cash, and they're going to build back their infrastructure very quickly because that's what money does. And we need to get that through our very thick diplomatic skulls that you have terrorists sitting on top of a wallet. That is not a good recipe. The only way you deal with this, the wallet's going to be there because it's in the ground. It's the oil. If that wallet's going to be there, the only other variable you can address are the terrorists. And so that regime has to go, has to be removed, and then other folks can be in charge of that wallet. But until you completely take out that regime, then you're going to have the same problem sprout up. It's just it's like cutting the top off of nutsedge or any weed in your garden. You can cut the top off, but then it just kind of keeps coming back, right? If you rip it out by the roots, it's gone.
Right, but how do you get into the garden? You're somebody who has said before, and let me point out too, the Iranians may not support this regime. Well, I'll tell you what, if after the bombings that have gone on and all that, I bet you there are people there that were anti-regime. They may still be anti-regime, but they're not pro-United States. Same thing here. If, you know, think about post 9/11, how we were galvanized, and think about at the same time, let's say there was the terrorist army or whatever came to occupy the United States to come in to root out whatever they didn't like. There wouldn't be a single person of any party that wouldn't shoot at those guys, right? Because they're foreigners.
Right.
And so you've said this before, this kind of binary decision. Either you leave a failed state, or you said it before, that it's boots on the ground. It's an actual invasion, right?
Yes. Yeah, and you and I actually are in the same place that I think this was an unforced error by the United States. I do not think we had to get involved here and you know, attack the regime and get into the situation in the first place. I think it was hasty and not well thought out. The problem now is we've crossed that bridge.
Right. Now it's we're over. Here. I agree with you. And I've told folks, too, they're like, well, it sounds like you're. I said, no, the second we're in it, I'm an American. I'm on our side. I didn't think we should do it in the first place, but we did. And I'm an American. So how do we figure this out going forward for the best situation for the people of the United States?
Yeah. And I think and I actually have a sort of add on to what I've said previously, based on some pretty credible reporting, as best I can tell, the amount of munitions that we're going through to do these remote strikes where we're just using missiles and drones and things like that, but we don't have any troops to accomplish the missions that we need to, we're burning through munitions, which also leads us to a vulnerable place should a China or Russia or somebody decide they want to test us. And so I think we're actually, not only do we need to engage here and clearly identify our objectives, use all means necessary to achieve them, including boots on the ground, but I think we need to do it quickly. Because if we delay, we're going to burn through more of our munition stockpiles. It's going to take us months and years to rebuild them. And we don't want to create other vulnerabilities for the United States because we're refusing to do what we need to do in Iran.
You know, we talk about the real numbers here. The most important numbers, and this is just the recent, the four, but this is, I think we're up in the higher teens for Americans that have been killed in this conflict. That's number one. I'm always blood before treasure. I know these people. I know these families that have suffered like this. But on the treasure side, even at Hegseth saying it, we're about $37.5 billion in so far with the Iran war. If you bring in economic impacts, you know, which you could go way higher there, but let's talk about what they've spent. They said we're on track for about $1 billion a day in this war. And while people like me were pushing back on how much money we're going to give Ukraine day in and day out, you know what? I would not be consistent if I didn't say, and this at $1 billion a day.
Well, and I want to give credit to Ukraine right now. Talk about doing a lot with a little. Wow. I mean, impressive. They're blowing up Russia's version of Amazon. Like, way to go, guys.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. Yeah.
What we're seeing is we're doing little with a lot. And that's creating a real problem. And the American people are scratching their heads right now. They're saying, wait a minute, do we control the Strait of Hormuz? Do we not? Why are we still striking things? Why didn't we just destroy them? What's going on here? And those are fair questions to ask. And when you look at our outlay and you look at the profligate spending from Congress and you look at, hey, unemployment is low, the stock market is high, a lot of good fundamentals, yet we're still digging massive deficit holes. We're exposing ourselves financially right now, militarily. I think we're in a bad posture and we need to have some coherence. We just have an emasculated Congress that does nothing, that holds the executive branch accountable, not at all. And I mean, I am so sickened by Republicans, because if the answer is anytime you like a president, you don't hold them accountable, what's the point? I mean, why are you even there? If it's just you're a rubber stamp, just give your proxy vote to Trump and take a vacation. But at the end of the
day, don't give them any ideas. Please.
Yeah, they're like the Trump proxy is next, Sean. That's where we're coming. But we need to have our founding fathers would roll over in their graves if they saw the lack of political tension. And I'm not talking across parties. I'm talking across branches. The fact that the Congress is not in tension with the executive branch, really the only tension is occasionally with judicial. That the courts have said, hey, administration, you're overreaching. But let's be honest, Republicans in Congress really haven't. And so until that changes, you're just going to have an administration casting about in the dark right now with Iran, and it's leaving us in a bad posture, and I think it's going to have midterm consequences for Republicans.
Hey, before we wrap up, too, speaking of the money, and this is something that, you know, that on brand, as they say, for me, on brand for you, watching this stuff, and no matter who is, you know, people are new here, I've done this during many administrations, Democrats especially, but with our spending, and where we've gotten ourselves here in the interest payments to drive me crazy, but you pointed something out, I guess you got a new story coming out over at the Tennessean about this highway, the highway money, the highway transportation money. Where are we?
Yeah, so the highway trust fund, that's your gas taxes and certain excise taxes that go to fund this. For years, we've been spending more than we're taking in, but it's going to run completely out of money by 2028, according to the CBO. Sean, 2028. I mean, that's like right around the corner. And if it runs dry, it's an immediate 40% cut to highway spending. So what 40? Congress has done, 40%.
Wow.
40%. And that's big dollars for Alabama, for everywhere. And so Congress is saying, well, you know what we'll have to do is just borrow some money and stroke a big check.
Oh, my gosh. Here we back. We just borrow it again.
Right. And, Sean, I mean, the Social Security, total insolvency by 2032.
We've been crying about that for 15 years and nobody paid attention.
Right. And it's just closer and closer. And that Congress's answer to all of this is, well, we'll just do a one-time spending transfer from borrowed money. Think about it. You're $2 trillion in debt every year. And you're going to have to make some huge checks in the coming years out to these things that really are linchpins of our economy now. Like those highway dollars, don't think of it as just roads. Think of it as the jobs and things that come with those roads. And so when you cut this money because you're not fiscally responsible, because you're not tending to your own fiscal garden in Congress, we are in a very precarious position. And I'm not just Chicken Little saying the sky's falling. I'm saying we're not going to have any dry powder to do what we need to do in an emergency. For example, if the AI bubble pops, we don't have a lot of tools to deal with it right now.
Well said. People want to continue this conversation. How do they find you online?
At D. Cameron Smith on the X Machine over at the Tennessean. We're going to be writing and talking a lot more, and I want y'all to join the conversation, so holler at me.
Good stuff, Cameron. I appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Sean.
Oh, wait, speaking of the AI stuff, did you hear that story? AI hacking other AIs out there? Good time. We'll get into that. AIs are going to... pretty soon, AIs are going to just be stealing cars, buying beer underage, hanging out on the corner. I mean, okay.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Run through some text here. I mean, right off the bat, I agree with Rick. Four is four too many. Yeah, and it's four just the ones here from the last few days of Americans killed in this conflict. All right, so I agree with you, Rick. David said if we fight a war, we need to fight it like... dare say that here in the South, David, even though I know your kin's from Confederacy, says if we fight a war, we need to fight it like Sherman fought the Civil War, or we don't need to fight. And let's see. And then said, unforced error, if you listen to Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly, Israel forced Trump's hand on Iran. Old guy said, That's completely correct. Chairman Mao killed 100 billion. So did Stalin. We, the Americans, do not have the stomach for war. We are truly weak. Trump is not, but Americans as a whole are weak. Michael says, Sean, you ought to know everyone has to agree with their leader or you're part of the leftist gaze for Palestine, according to most of the listeners. Also, how much did you love telling CENTCOM to open the gates of hell after the dignified transfer today? You know, the problem is here, Michael, is there's like this idea that you have to agree with everything. Most of the time, what the president's doing, I like. But I'm not going to pretend that, Now, here's the point, Michael. Now that we're in it, this is where you and I split. Now that we're in it, I will support whatever's best for the American people. Early on, I was saying, hey, let's not do this. But at that point, I'm a homeboy from the word go here. So, I'm just want to figure out what we do going forward that doesn't have us in an extended war with Iran and body bags coming home for a long time. I've seen this. Tesher says this GOP Congress doesn't support Trump. It does nothing. Ricardo Montalban said, I agree with him on one thing, meaning, I guess, Cameron, we need more munitions to fire at Iran. See the pause there for comic effect. Squirrel Vereen said, so ceasefire is about a legitimate term, as a legitimate term as crime is down. And the midterm consequences for Republicans were already at risk because of the media-fueled trend to stir up protests against immigration control. They have not stopped their nutty tricks. Yeah, I've been watching some of that, Squirrel Vereen. And we'll finish up with Fire Dog here. Said, AI hacking AI, and no one knows how it did it or why. Sleep well. Fire Dog, have you ever seen the story about the AI where they had them play chess against each other and what happened? You want to get the not sleeping well thing? Go. I'll try to post that story up, but you just Google it. AI versus AI chess game and what it ended up doing. Yikes.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Just get a little bit here on traffic situation. Some sort of accident at Old Shell and McGregor. This is from Ricardo Montalban. Said police are doing about 100 miles per hour to get there. I do not have any details yet, but I'll tell you what, Ricardo, that Leanna in the hub, in the news hub over there, will figure it out before any of us. So we'll watch that. But accident at Old Shell and McGregor. All right. Without further ado, you know her, you love her. It's Erica Thomas from 1819news.com. Hello, Erica.
Howdy, Sean.
Howdy. Got a breaking news right now. We just heard it mentioned this last half hour, and you and I were talking about it during the break. What did DJ Khaled say? And another one. So, Pritchard Police Department, another arrest made, and this happens to be the chief.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate in Pritchard, the Pritchard Police Chief. We just learned just a couple of hours ago, Walter Knight was arrested earlier today, and so we're working to get more information on this. The Mobile County Sheriff's Office and the DA's office, they're holding a press conference at 1:15 today, so we'll watch that to kind of get more details. But what's interesting about this is, the Mobile County Sheriff's Office took over the Pritchard Police Department just last month because there was an officer that was arrested. I'm sure people will remember that. And that was Emmanuel Dotch. He was an officer. He was arrested on federal charges. Mm-hmm. That included bribery, evidence, tampering, conspiracy to commit extortion. There were some really serious allegations laid out on these federal charges. Now, automatically people thought, well, this is probably connected to that. But Sheriff Birch told me not necessarily. He said, they'll go over more specifics in this press conference, but we're looking at maybe when the sheriff's office was going through the operations of the police department because of this arrest, maybe they found something else. We're just not sure, so we're kind of just guessing at this point. But, just a couple of weeks ago, the sheriff's office took custody of the evidence room at the police department, and they said it was just a mess. They said
it's horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah. They found like guns just misplaced. Things were not labeled correctly, weren't boxed correctly.
How about the rape kits that sat there? That's what's incensed me beyond all these. Just sitting there. No justice for these people. Just stacked up, sitting in a hot room.
148 unprocessed sexual assault kits.
Makes me want to kick somebody's butt in a big way.
Yeah. And all of this mess with the Pritchard Police Department is going to impact previous cases. You know, we heard that from the DA's office for the first arrest of that officer. A lot of cases could be tossed out if he investigated them just because of his alleged actions. Now, everybody in this is innocent until proven guilty. I always try to make that clear. But we know that there is a mess within Pritchard, and so...
Oh, it's horrible. And Sheriff said the other day somebody had asked, should Chief Knight be arrested? And the sheriff said something to the effect, well, that's not something that I do. That's not my job. But yes, I think he should go. And actually, I think he went on to say he thinks everybody in the Pritchard PD should be fired. There should be completely, you know, undone. Like, and somebody asked also, said, well, would you rehire any of those Pritchard police officers, you know, either to go to the sheriff's department or reconstituted? He said no.
Yeah, that's pretty strong.
That's strong.
Yeah, he's known for, you know, making his strong statements and really just his way of saying things is it is what it is. You know, he's that type. And so you take that very seriously when he says something like that. I mean, to hear a sheriff say that, just completely redo the police department. And at this point, it looks like that might be the right call. I mean, how do you come back from this? Pritchard is already dealing with so much increased crime. People are scared to go out of their homes at times. You know, you don't go just out in Pritchard strolling around at certain times. So,
and can you imagine that? Like the sheriff had talked to me about that before, that he would get calls from people that were, they just wanted to be able to, like you said, walk outside their homes. And they had no confidence in it. They were trapped in their own homes in Pritchard because of crime that went on around them, and nothing was being done.
Yeah, I mean, when you hear about it, it sounds like a third world country.
Yep.
Not
yep.
only do they have to like bob and weave, worried about gunshots and gangs, but also they have to worry about this sewage issue. You know, I've done stories on people in Pritchard who just have raw sewage in their yards because of the water system. I mean, from the top to bottom, I'm glad to see that the city has a new mayor. I just don't know how much the mayor can do in her capacity to undo so many years of just, it appears to be neglect.
Yeah, and still working on, been in communications with that office. Hopefully we are going to have Mayor Davis on the show sometime sooner than later. And one of the things, I don't know, I don't know the inner workings. I do, certain things stand out to me. And the people that have been on the council there, their pushback against the mayor, and once again, this is not factual, this is just finger in the wind, gut feeling, tells me she's doing something right. So that's just where I am. The fact that the council pushed back on her so hard, I said, okay, maybe somebody's asking the hard questions here.
Yeah, she's really wanting to come in and, you know, hire professionals and do all these audit type things. And at every turn, she gets pushback that there's just going to be a lot of this going on. I think it's important for voters to pay attention right now to what's going on. Go to your city council meeting. I always say nobody ever goes to city council meetings until something's happening.
But those
city council meetings need to be full. People need to hold their elected leaders accountable.
Yeah, I think there's just the people that could over time felt helpless and moved out, you know, and that just makes the problem worse and worse. But we'll keep our eyes on that story, and you can read that update and subsequent updates over at 1819news.com. I want to ask you about, this is a press release kind of story, but it does give me a reason to mention something else. But a power and rubber supply undergoing $7 million Mobile expansion. So this is a power and rubber supply up on Salco Road?
Yes, this was announced by the Chamber of Commerce yesterday. So they're going to build this new facility, $7 million industrial facility. The good thing about it is it's creating new jobs as well, 55 new jobs over 5 years, which sounds like a small amount, but really that's a lot of jobs. It'll be stable jobs for power and rubber supply. They're going to expand their operations. They're going to move from the current location where they are. And Bradley Byrne, the CEO, outgoing CEO of the Mobile Chamber, he said, you know, this investment will not only create jobs, but it'll be great for local manufacturers and industrial employers across the region. So, I mean, this is a big announcement. That much of an investment is always a good thing. And it appears
there's no complaints, no protest here because there's nothing AI. So we can expand other businesses, just not AI. No data centers. Well, there's no data center part of this.
No data centers. You know, they might need a data center to support all of the cell phones that'll be in the area, but I don't know.
And then I want to wrap up with this. This is, it is interesting to watch what has happened. And yes, do these things show up in my algorithm? They do, I guess, because I show a proclivity to be interested in weather and things like that. But like the hype channels that are out there about hurricanes, mm-hmm. about all weather, but I mean, they really go berserk during hurricane season. And you got a story about Baldwin County officials talking about Bertha, but also a conversation of, what's your quote here? Sensationalism draws attention.
Yes, that was a quote from Baldwin County EMA Director Tom Tyler. I spoke with him ahead of the storm system moving in, and his concern was, you know, rip currents and storm surge, that sort of thing. But he said also something else, that every time they have something that comes up is these online people who they're not necessarily trained. They're not really meteorologists. They might be storm watchers or storm trackers. They go online. They have their YouTube channels, their Facebook pages, and they do a great job getting information out, but oftentimes they really just hype it up way too much and like freak people out. And so that was one thing that he wanted to draw attention to make sure that people were getting their information from official legitimate sources, such as the National Weather Service,
Dr. Bill Williams,
meteorologist. Yes, Dr. Bill Williams, mm-hmm. of course. He's always going to be the one with all the goods. But we have this problem in news a lot, and I like to say it's like weather and true crime. Those
yeah.
two things can really be sensationalized and blown a little bit out of proportion. I'm all about the true crime ones. I watch every one of them probably. So I'm guilty as charged. But as far as the weather, you know, it's a really serious situation when you have people trying to evacuate. You don't want to freak people out. You don't want to cause panic. And I found it interesting to hear this from the EMA director. Usually they don't really talk about that sort of thing, but it's something you hear from meteorologists a lot. And one of the best, other than Dr. Bill, one of the best meteorologists is James Spann in this state. I mean, he is an Alabama celebrity, especially if you're from the Birmingham area, Tuscaloosa all the way to Anniston. James Spann is very well known. He has his own weather network now, the Alabama Weather Network, and he has also talked about this so many times over the years that he gets these tornado chasers or storm chasers that are out there, and they're just given completely incorrect information. You know, they'll Google what's the latest models on this hurricane or this tornado system, and they'll just come out with all kinds of theories, and it just burns him up because he's been in the business way longer than I've even been alive. He knows exactly. I mean, he just has really accurate forecasts for the most part.
Yeah,
when he sees this, it just really burns him up. And it's kind of funny to watch, but at the same time, we have to remember to definitely have multiple ways to get your warnings, your information, and make sure that those are legitimate sources.
Yeah, because I don't want to stop. Yeah, like I said, they seem to populate my algorithm. So I don't want to stop the people that do their own. I think, you know, they hang out their own shingle, do their weather hype. It's not like I want to ban anybody. I just want to make sure people realize, you know, a lot of these are for entertainment purposes only, you know, or what
yeah.
could happen. You know, they'll say in the wintertime, you know, 16 days from now, there could be a massive, you know, freeze coming, whatever it is. I want them still to be able to do it. I don't want to stop them, but I do want to make sure that people balance that. A good, healthy, you know, you can have a snack over here, but make sure you have, you know, the quality foods as well with like real forecasting, and don't just have candy all the time.
Yeah, and we all like to watch those people get on the beach during a tropical storm or hurricane and get blown all over the place. But, I mean, that's also really dangerous. So I would suggest, like, I've been a storm watcher for years. I was a producer for James Spann for 5 years. So I've been in the business for a while. I've been trained on how to cover things. A lot of these people don't have any training on how to cover storms. It can be really, really dangerous. So I would suggest, you know, taking courses on how to do those things. You've got to be careful with the wind, things flying. You have to be careful if there's power lines down. You don't just get out of a vehicle if there's a power line down on the road. There's so many things to storm watching and storm spotting and chasing. You don't want to just get out there to get clicks and views because you really could end up hurt.
Well said. People want to check these stories out, of course, and soon to come update stories over at 1819news.com. In the meantime, they want to reach out, email-wise, how do they find you, or on social media?
You can email me directly, erica.thomas@1819news.com, and you can also subscribe to our newsletter. We'd love to have your support as well. You can become a member, and you get access to exclusive content. But check out our stories, 1819news.com. You can find all this information at the bottom of my stories.
Good stuff, Erica. We'll talk next week.
God bless.
All right. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:53, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. And update on what was asked earlier on the text line, and several of y'all have commented as well. Got this from Blake Brown, Public Affairs Manager at MPD, said, this morning, approximately 11:50, officers attempted to initiate a traffic stop in the area of Michael Boulevard and Azalea for traffic violation when the driver of the vehicle refused to comply. The driver led officers on a pursuit that ended on McGregor near the intersection with Old Shell. The driver struck a police unit and at least two other vehicles. Male subject who led officers on the pursuit has life-threatening injuries. It was transported to a local hospital. Two occupants of one of the vehicles were transported to a local hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Remains an active investigation. At this time, McGregor Avenue at Austell Lane remains closed. So all the people that had texted in about that, that was what was going on. So there's an update. And I'm good when I hear this, and I look up and I get to see my friend in studio. I know he's okay. Good to see you, Jim.
Good seeing you. Thanks.
You did a drop-off here. You were talking about this the other day about victim tree.
Right.
And this word here, which I don't know if Google did. I think it's on.
I made it up. I created it.
Well, it's now going to be one. You know how each year they go, Webster's Dictionary added three words in this year. Victim tree. And not only is it a new word, but you have T-shirt. You brought me a T-shirt.
I brought you a T-shirt size large.
Thank you.
But we've talked about it and talked about it, how people's responsibilities have been removed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I created the term victim tree, which is a noun, a distinct group of product for profit-making enterprises based on convincing persons or groups that their problems are caused by someone else, therefore alleviating said persons or groups of responsibility for their own failures.
So this shirt is, you wear this around, it's dry fit, the one I got. I don't know if they're all going to be dry
fit. They're all going to be dry fit.
Which is good, because I don't know if you realize it's sweating season.
No, man, the humidity is only 95%.
Sweating season, so this is perfect, but where can people get these?
Contact me through my email, jyheretostay@yahoo, or message me on Facebook, John Young, the Men United Against Violence. Big shout out to Mobile Monogramming for getting it.
Is that who
done.
Did it? Y'all
that
did is, great work.
They always do wonderful work for me. So, and Sean, it's just raising or sounding the alarm or something we've talked about plenty of times. Let's put the responsibility back where it's supposed to be. Parents, children are your responsibility. Mm-hmm. Let the teachers teach, let the preachers preach, and let everyone take responsibility for themselves.
100%. Yeah. Right. I mean, that's, you know, we said it the other day, and if y'all didn't hear the conversation, go back and check it out in the podcast. It's not, I mean, heck, the group you founded, I'm part of with you, Men United Against Violence, we're there as extra.
Right.
Right? Church leaders are there as extra.
Right.
Other role models. parents got to do that. It's good to have these extra parts out here, mm-hmm. but it only works when you have the base set of what goes on in the house.
It's like supplements. If you it take is, a multivitamin.
That's right. We are, right. We're supplement.
We're supplements. We're a multivitamin. We yeah. are a vitamin D pill.
Eat your regular food. That's what the parents should be. The regular nutritious food. Right. And then we're, you know.
We just fill in the blanks, fill in the spots. But we've outsourced all of those responsibilities. And then told people that it's not their fault that they are where they are. If you're still talking about events that happened decades ago, or let alone a century ago, trying to explain where you are now, that is victim street. You have determined that nothing is your fault. It's not your responsibility. Therefore, how can you improve and grow if all you ever do is have an excuse?
It's giving up.
Right. And but it's manufactured surrender because someone has convinced you to give up. We all have fallen down and said, man, I'm tired of this crap.
Yep.
But no one else told us, fall down and stay there. And that's not your fault. You know, when we fell down, it's because of something we did.
Yeah. But, you know, when not to take well, I would take this analogy too far, but when you help somebody up, which is a good thing, mm-hmm. we do, you know, as Christians, as Americans, as you help, that person has to give you their hand too. They have to have something. They have to take part in it. They have to reach their hand up for you, grab their hand, and pick them up.
I always say that when Peter began sinking, when Christ said, come, and Peter walked, I'll bet you both of Peter's arms were reaching up as he fell into the water and gave Christ something to grab.
Yes.
So it's the same thing when people are falling down and making mistakes. Yeah, you have to. If both of us don't embrace each other when we hug, I'm just holding you, or you're just holding me.
That's right.
So it's a two-way street. Some people need more help more often than others, and some people cannot be helped. And we have to make that distinction from now on. Let's stop casting out pearls before swine. Let's stop spending so much effort on the F student that we overlook the C student.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put more effort into people that really want to do better and are trying to do better, and instead of just sitting on their butt saying they can't do better.
Well said. By the way, too, David points out that, you know, we do this Alabamian of the Year contest. He says we need to start the Word of the Year contest along with Alabamian of the Year, and I officially say Victim Tree is on the list. So there you go. David puts it.
Right.
So he's starting a new contest for us.
Thank you. And I couldn't copyright it because you can't copyright words from what I read online.
We'll have to make a logo or something with it.
Right.
If I had people, I'd get them on it.
It's just you and me.
That's it.
All right.
All right. Be good.
Thank you, brother.
Talk to you soon.
See you guys.
12:58, coming right back, hour number two of Midday Mobile.